Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Today marks the beginning of Holy Week. This week is a week where the church gathers more and more to hear the Word of God, to hear the Word and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today already we have heard of the triumphal entry, our Lord Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem that last week, righteous and having salvation, to the cries of the crowd, Hosanna! That is, save us, God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We heard of Pharisees plotting against Jesus. Look, the whole world is going after him. Our Lord, even using the erring of his day to accomplish his will. Now we hear of this Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, an important historical anchor for what we believe, because we don't believe in fairy tales, but real events that happened in real history, as our creeds confess. That Pilate, a Gentile governor given authority by God to rule over people, including his only begotten son, even in punishing him by capital means, crucifixion. That this was all according to God's eternal purpose and righteous plan. That the hour had come. Several times before this, crowds and Pharisees together had wanted to kill Jesus. The devil had even tried to kill him, but this was the appointed time. Holy Week. Hear the plotting and the planning of the devil and Pharisee, stirring up the crowds, forcing the will of these calculating Roman governors. They come to their successful end. As we confess about the incarnation and birth of our Lord Jesus, that it happened in the fullness of time, so also this. Our Lord lays down his life as our substitute, that is, he dies in our place, taking on our punishment, suffering that which sin had earned, and redeeming sinners that could never redeem themselves. That this was the fullness of time, and this is what our Lord had come for. That God has always been and will always be the God over history. He makes peoples and nations to rise and to fall, situations to come and to go in order that his will would be done. That the past is his, the present is his, and the future is most certainly his. That this is something we believe, because it doesn't always line up with our senses or our experiences. But senses and experiences, although good gifts from God, they are absolutely no substitute for the Word of God or faith which trusts the Word of God. That all gifts from God are under the Word, to be checked against it and to be tested against that very Word of God. The crowd welcoming Jesus on that Palm Sunday confessed faith in that word. But we also know from that word that others, some even maybe among them, expected Jesus to kick out the Romans, to kick out Roman power and bring in some sort of earthly reign and earthly kingdom. That he was there that week to rule, which is true, but not in the ways of men. For God's ways are higher than man's ways. We think of power and control, of victory being because you're the strongest. But Christ wins by serving, and by laying aside his almighty power, by humbling himself unto death, even death upon a cross. That the kingdom of God is not of this world, and that Jesus doesn't conquer like any kind of earthly king. And that this confuses many who do not hear or do not trust the word. But may it not be so amongst us who have been given to both hear and to trust the word of God. the death of our Lord and the Passion accounts causes pagans and Jews together to say some strange things. They say true things, but they don't understand what they're saying. So you hear of the warning given to Pilate by his wife that Jesus is a righteous man. Later confirmed by Pilate saying this man is innocent. You hear them confirming what the prophet Zechariah had said, that this was a righteous and holy, having salvation is he, what the crowd had shouted. The crowd then, stirred up by the chief priests and the Pharisees and so forth, calling for Christ's death, crucify him, they confessed, his blood be on us and on our children. In almost any other context, that would be a beautiful saying. It is, in fact, a great prayer for every parent, for themselves, and for the children that God has given them, to have the blood of Jesus cover them and their sin. It makes righteous what was unrighteous. It makes holy what was sinful. But the blood of Jesus washes us clean and makes us innocent. During this Lenten season, we've been hearing about holy baptism, about how we are baptized into the death and the resurrection of Jesus. In a way that lays out the life of Christ as kind of a pattern for us, an example for sure, but also something that we can expect. That sometimes Christ was well received, like we heard in Palm Sunday, but then there were the times when he was hated amongst his own people and the world all around him. That this, of course, comes to its fullness on Good Friday. That the world's hatred of Christ meant it sought out his death. That people who had erred about the Word of God hated Christ. Pagans who knew nothing of the Word of God hated Christ. And the government itself, ordained by God, made Christ's death happen. So what can we expect? If we are baptized into his death and resurrection, we are baptized into him, and given what he has said about his disciples and our relationship to the world, what can we expect from the world? More than that, how then should we be in the face of the world's hatred? The answer to those things is found in Christ. Not only in his example for us, but chiefly and mainly in his work for us. The fact that Christ has been crucified for you changes how you have to be in this world. That you are part of a kingdom that is beyond this world. That there is no rising or falling in the kingdom of God. It never ceases, it will never end. It is an eternal kingdom, and you, by being baptized, are a part of it. The Lord of the past, the present, and the Lord of the future has done the work for your salvation and made promises about your past, your present, and your future. But it's not going to be some glorious earthly kind of thing, but instead it is a glorious eternal heavenly thing. It's a death and a resurrection thing. That in this world, Jesus promises you will have tribulation. Because this world hated Christ, and no servant is above his master. But Christ also says, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That those folks who hate him, those folks who hate his church, will one day bow before him on the last day. That they who have hated his name, cursed his word, cursed all those who bear the name of Christ, will confess that same name as the one name above all names, that Jesus indeed is Lord and God, as the last day dawns. A day full of joy for his own, but a day of vengeance upon those who do not believe in him. for them a day of weeping and gnashing of teeth. That Christ has promised blessing for those who are hated, mistreated, persecuted, spoken against for His name's sake. That these are certainly not fun experiences to go through. But Christ says in His Word that blessed are you when others do this to you. That word is more true than our feelings or our experiences. So the life before us as Christians will not always be filled with earthly successes or joys, but it is always a life that is certain of the joy to come in what Christ has done for us and what Christ our Lord has promised to us. This is important as we hear the confession of these children today. It is important for us to remember that one day long ago we made a similar confession. We confessed the same faith. We made the same kind of vows to live Christian lives, being in this world but not of the world. It is important to understand what our confession means for this life and for the life to come. It is important to see the finished work of Jesus marking each and every one of you and marking each and every one of your days, no matter how those days go. And as you see these children this day receive the Lord's gift of Christ's body and blood, you can be reminded of our Lord's promises to them and to you. That through this sacrament, they and you receive the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. That sins are gone, forgiven because of Jesus. That death is gone, defeated because of Jesus. That condemnation is gone, it is undone because of Jesus. That this is true for them, and this is true for you. This week, make the time to go to church. Be present with God's people. Hear the Word of God. Sing the hymns. Pray the prayers. Make this week holy for you in hearing that Word of our Lord. That our Lord has done the work of salvation. Our Lord has commissioned His Word to be preached, His sacraments to be administered, to deliver all of what He has earned for us. That you need that. Because you possess sinful flesh and blood. You live in a fallen world, and you have the same enemy of your soul that Christ did. In the face of these enemies of faith in Christ, our Lord uses His Word to sustain, nourish, and defend you. That the world might laugh at such power, but the same world will in the end have to admit the power that it is indeed. For the six of you, the Lord bless your confession this day. May He bless your faithful reception of the body and the blood of Jesus. May He strengthen your faith in Jesus, and may He increase your love for all others. May He give you as much as He knows you need for these latter days. May He keep you in this confession and this faith for all the days He keeps you as His own in this foreign land. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.